My name is Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. And with that, we're ready to send it over to Studio 2A. Very pleased to be joined tonight for the first time here on Locals Only by the group Dirt Friends. They've got a brand new album just released on Commercial Appeal Records. They're going to be playing tracks from that album for us here tonight. So without further ado, live from Studio 2A, here's Dirt Friends.
Thank you.
My name is Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Dirt Friends. Guys, thanks for coming down tonight.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so why don't we go around the room and do introductions. Let us know who you are, what you're playing tonight.
I'm Nick Scallon, I'm playing the guitar.
I'm Nick Levac, and I'm playing the piano.
Scott Sims, playing guitar.
Emery Mott, playing bass.
And I'm Josh Kreese, and I'm playing drums.
All right, so guys, first of all, congratulations on the release.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, coming off a very packed house for the Congress release show a few weeks ago, and then you did a listening party this past Saturday over at Wooden Tooth. So before we kind of get into the meat of the album itself, let's just step back and just talk about the history of the group. So when did you guys first start playing together as Dirt Friends?
Oh, it's been about a year, a little bit over a year, maybe 14 months.
And what was the impetus for coming together?
Well,
I thought God came to each of us individually in a dream.
Yeah. And he looked a lot like Bruce Springsteen, right?
That's the story. Yeah. Yeah, it's way taller.
From Italy, though. He was from Italy.
Well, that's right, yeah. No, we, the three of us have been playing in Scott's room, a very dark room, for about a year. And we had about five or six songs written, and those guys over there, Josh and Emery, were playing in AZ-77, so we kind of, Caleb left to go to Australia, and we're like, we're just going to steal those guys. So we did. It was perfect.
Match made in heaven ever since.
And when you started playing, you know, as the three of you writing songs, did you have a sense for what you wanted the project to turn into, or at the outset were you just messing around and seeing what happened?
I think we were, I mean, it started as just sort of messing around. We've been playing music individually for a long, long time, ever since probably like middle school, high school. And so I think initially it was just kind of dusting off our instruments and getting back into it with an idea of, you know, eventually maybe playing at Hotel Congress. So...
Yeah, I think we were getting tired of just sitting around all night and talking about, oh, we should be in a band. We should have a band. And eventually we just said, all right, let's just do it. Because Scott and I lived together. So I think once that happened, it was like, well, if we live together, we might as well play together.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a good way to impress chicks, but that's
it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it hasn't worked yet.
Never does. It often has the opposite effect. But from that beginning of, you know, starting with the three of you writing songs together in a dark room, and then scooping your rhythm section out from AZ-77 once Caleb moved on for a little while, what was the next stage of the band? Once you had become the five piece that you've been since then, did the direction change at all? Did you find that the approach changed when you expanded beyond just three people kind of messing around in a room into turning into like a sort of fully formed band?
I'd say there it was a pretty seamless transition. I mean, these guys just jumped on board and basically did exactly what we were hearing and trying to imitate, only they're very good at bass and drums and we're not. So it was very smooth and just felt really, really good finally having a full band to play what we were, you know, initially sort of goofing around with. And then from there, you know, writing new songs together has been just, you know, a really unbelievable experience. So
what is your songwriting process? Is there somebody who generally kind of takes the lead initially, or do different people bring ideas to the table? How does that work?
Well, I guess we kind of, I don't know, one of us will come up with something we like, you know, a line or a melody to sing, and you just kind of bring it in, and it's kind of it amazes me how quick it all comes together, because maybe I'll have something on piano by myself that I think is, you know, could maybe be a Dirt Friend song or something, and I'll bring it to the guys, and within two times playing it, it's very clear what our idea is and where we're going to go, and Scott laser riffs it, and Nick does a bunch of star magic, and then the rhythm section over here, Emery's just like, you never have to say a word to him, he knows exactly what should be where, and then Josh is just like robotic over there. It's perfect.
Yeah, and the process is pretty fun too, because like Dry Spell, for example, popped into my head probably when I was playing disc golf and came to the band with this, you know, two chord progression. And by the time the band had actually chewed it up, digested it, and produced something, it was, you know, a completely different song that sounds, you know, awesome. So
yeah, a lot of your songs have some room to breathe. You know, you're able to incorporate opportunities to have some nice melodic interplays between what, you know, the guitar leads and just let the songs have some space to be able to be dynamic. Is that something that also just kind of organically evolves, where a song might start at 3 minutes and after you've been chewing on it for a few practices, it turns into a 4 or 5 minute song, or does the opposite happen, where you're kind of editing and cutting things down as you start to work on it more?
I would say a little bit of both, but probably more the opposite. You know, we consciously make decisions to make things more dynamic, you know, more ups and downs, walls of sound, silences, but it's a process. And I think we're getting better and better at it as we progress together. But yeah, sometimes it's just like, wow, that sounds really good there. Everybody back up and let Scott do what he's doing. You know, and that's always nice when it is just easy like that.
And for your live shows, is that something that, has, for lack of a better term, sort of an element of improvisation in it in terms of how you're letting some of the solos and things stretch out? Or do you try to keep a more kind of tight live set?
I think we try to be as tight as possible. I mean, there's a little bit of wiggle room, but for the most part, we know what we're doing, and we're just trying to recreate that one time that it sounded great.
Right.
Yeah. Still yet to do that.
Yeah. Still trying to get that sweet spot.
Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, there's not too much improvising going on in the live shows. Yeah.
Now, we'll talk more about the recording process during our next break, but just to give people a sneak preview, what's the name of the album?
Sunsets and Night Sweats. Right, that's it.
That sounds right. Sounds right to me.
No, nobody. Even.
Yeah. If people want to listen to that album, buy a copy, what are the best ways to do that?
Just come knock on one of our doors.
Yep.
We're on Bandcamp. That's probably the best way. We're also on iTunes and Spotify, and we have tons of physical copies that, if you inquire, we will send you one.
We got those sweet new cassettes as well.
Yeah, we got cassettes as well.
Awesome. All right, well, we'll talk about the album during our next break, but let's get back into the music. You're listening to Dirt Friends here, live in Studio 2A on Locals Only.
We'll be right back.
This is Locals Only. My name is Matt, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Dirt Friends. Guys, thanks again for coming down tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so during the last break, we kind of teased up the new album, and I want to talk about that process, because you've only been a band for about 14 months, as you said, and you've already put out this great album that I think does a really good job of capturing your sound, and I'd love to hear about the process that you went through to get there. So when did you start working on this album?
Oh, I think it was last October. Actually, the whole thing happened because I was hanging out at La Cocina, and I just had spoken to our buddy Matt Baquet, mm-hmm. and we were going to do the Territory, the Tucson Territory magazine.
Mixtape.
Yeah. It just came out.
Which is now.
Yeah. Yeah, it just came out last week.
And so I ran into Jordan. I was like, Jordan, we got to record one song for this. You know, we're a new band. We want to do one song. And he was like, yeah, come over to my house. We'll do it. Jordan Prather. Mm-hmm. And so we, yeah, he's here. So we just, we went over to his house, and we petted his cats for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then we made that song. And then from there, it was just a great experience. So we just kept recording the whole album there.
And, you know, I think with some bands, you know, there's certain bands who, when they're recording, the challenge is just, you know, we've got to get really, you know, clean takes. And then there are other bands who the challenge is finding a way to kind of convert already a really polished live sound into something that comes through with that same energy. What were the challenges that you faced in the recording process?
I'd say it was, one, I think we kind of jumped into it because we felt the urgency to do it because we had it. None of us have, like, a whole lot of experience recording. So that was the biggest challenge, I think, was just coming in fairly fresh, fairly new, and playing in a totally different means than we're used to,
right.
Where we have headphones on our heads and we're, you know, trying to make absolutely zero mistakes. And it was super challenging. I think at the end of the day, it was a really, you know, educational experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we recorded it live, which was a new thing for me to try to do. And it's complicated with five people in a band.
Yeah.
But Jordan's some sort of spirit guide through the whole thing. All of his input was perfect, I thought. I mean, always had good ideas when we were struggling a little bit, or just, okay, try that take one more time, you know. And I really loved the way the live sound turned out.
So when you say live, do you really mean all five of you playing at the same time?
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
We tracked the vocals, but...
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Was that something that you, from the outset, you told Jordan that was really important for you to do it that way, or did you start off trying with overdubs and then kind of worked your way to the live thing?
We just went for it live to not, I don't know, I think a lot of times you hear a really exciting band live, and then when you get their album, they're a little bit more boring. So we wanted to keep that live energy.
Yeah.
I think for convenience sake, too, we were trying to just get it done, and we know that, you know, with the little experience we have tracking it, you know, that's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Where we individually need to go in and do this, and... Who knows how long a given song would take? I'm pretty surprised and impressed how quickly we spit all these songs out over the, you know, three or four sessions.
Yeah, but I think also we did that first song, and it's the song we know the best, so we did it like on the third take, and we're like, oh, this is easy. We can do the whole album this way. Didn't realize the other songs were a little more difficult.
And what was Jordan's role, other than obviously just recording it? How did he contribute to the sound of the album?
He just waved some wand over it.
And just I think it was mostly sorcery.
Fairy dust.
Now he had in my opinion, a better ear for what our sound would be together. I don't know. We all had kind of an own idea of how we should mix and match, but Jordan could see the bigger picture. And so mm-hmm. It was nice to have somebody outside of the writing process to listen to it and bring out things where they belong.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you have a sense for, you know, in terms of the actual production on it, did you have records that, you know, you had listened to or that you shared with Jordan as an example of, like, we kind of want it to sound like this, or we want the vocals to sound like this, or the drums to sound like this, or was that something where you really just kind of wanted to let him shape it and see where it ended up.
Like a lot of Beyonce, right?
Yeah. I was just listening to Cher.
Sure. Yeah.
But no, yeah, I think that we didn't really. I mean, obviously we have influences, things like that. But sure. No, we went in and just kind of captured this, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I think you did. Yeah. The album's really great. Again, it's available in a couple different formats, right? You've got CDs, and then you also just got in cassettes as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And available up on Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify, all the other kind of digital outlets that way. As well. So you put a lot of work into this album. Now it's out in the world. What does it feel like to have it out there, to have people listening to it? Is there a part of you that feels any sense of loss, almost like that it's out in the world now, it's done, the process is behind you, you have to pick something new to work on, or are you just excited to have it out there?
Yeah, I actually feel the opposite. It's so nice having other people's input and sure. feedback rather than the five of us and Jordan. You know, we've split hairs five or six different ways
yeah.
with a sound. So it's really nice to hear friends and family and, you know, even strangers just be like, that album is so good.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Your family tells you that?
Yeah, I get most of the negative reviews at this point.
Too many curses.
Well, they tell me I sound good.
So much swearing.
God, you sound great on that album.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
You just isolate your part.
Yeah. And what comes next? Now that, I mean, you've cleared that mountain, and there's a tendency, I think, sometimes with bands, like after you're working up to the album, to like have this sort of exhale and then to have to start thinking about, you know, where you go. So is this... So have you already started about thinking about, you know, doing some shows on the road or writing a new batch of songs or just letting this one exist for a little while?
Yeah, absolutely. We have. I think that we're all pretty psyched to just be part of Tucson music right now because it seems like just cool stuff's being put out.
There's a huge wave going on right now in Tucson music.
And so the next thing we're really doing is we're doing a split, collaborating with Asian Fred, those guys.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to have a little two-song each split record out. Yeah.
And do a little tour. We're going to try to go up to California, try to get up.
Yeah, in October we're going to go on the road.
Excellent.
Which we should probably shout out Francesco, because we were talking about how we became a band. Nick's friend from Italy, Francesco, is one heck of a musician and came into town to visit, and he kind of lit the fire under our butts to, you know,
he's a bully.
Start playing music together. And he's actually, his band is going to come over here and we're going to hopefully go tour over to California together.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then some dates in Italy after that, hopefully.
Yeah.
We just got to save up some money.
Yeah. Get there. So the new album is out now, and Bandcamp is the easiest way to find Dirt Friends. You guys have a Facebook page, an Instagram, all that other social media stuff. A Pokemon Go account, maybe, for the band. I don't know.
I've been catching Pokemons this whole time.
Yeah.
Actually, Emery has.
You guys promised we weren't going to talk
about
Pokemon.
Not talking.
Promise.
So we're going to hear a couple more songs here from Dirt Friends. Before we jump back into it, though, anything on the calendar we want to plug real quick before we move on? Or should people just follow you on Facebook to keep track of that?
We're playing a... Go ahead. Emery.
I don't know the days.
Oh, yeah. July 23rd at Sky Bar, we're playing the Joy Riot Pipe Lights. It's Joy Riot's album release. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then from there, I think we're playing July 26th with The Garden. That's a 191 Tool. So, yeah, some stuff coming up.
Cool. Good stuff. All right, guys. Well, thanks again. Set sounds great. Looking forward to hearing your last couple songs here. Thanks again for tuning in to Locals Only. We'll be back next week with my live guest, Casey Golden. Looking forward to that. But we'll send it back to Dirt Friends for one last set. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
I'm not sure, but I don't wanna follow you around no more. I'm gonna sit here and I'll fill up my head with nice things. Go after all my pipe dreams. I don't care. I'm not gonna take another trip back there.
Listening to Dirt Friends here live in Studio 2A on Locals Only. We want to thank the guys for coming down again tonight. The new album is available Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify, on CD and cassette. Do you guys have copies at Wooden Tooth or any of the local stores?
Yeah, we have CDs and cassettes, and I think a couple shirts over at Wooden Tooth.
Some tank tops.
Tanks.
Excellent. All right, yeah, so you can get physical copies there. They've got a show coming up at Skybar later on in July, and you can follow them for more details about shows and other information on Facebook. We'll be back next week with Casey Golden. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight.